Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a fabulous service department, which, by the way, is looking for even more help. I mean, when you're that good, people flock to you. Your quick lane, car like truck service, heavy truck service, body, frame and alignment, towing departments. If you're an experienced technician, an entry-level technician looking for that all-important first job, looking for a career change, they want to hear from you. Stop by in person. Apply online at sunburymotors.com or call Todd at 286-7746. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Reese Hoskins gets it done.
Fly ball right field. That's well hit. Aquino's going back to the wall. It is gone! A three-run opposite field home run for Reese Hoskins. And a high fly ball to deep center field. Almora's going back. Forget about it. That one is gone off the base of the batter's eye. 26 home runs now for Reese. And 59 runs batted in, and he crushed it.
Was that what, win number 10,000?
It was for the Phils.
For, unfortunately, the first franchise ever to lose 10,000.
At least they got the 10,000 wins now.
Yep. Yes, they have. They've had a lot of success in recent years, and somebody who's been a part of that success and has made the ballpark experience great for everybody is Dan Baker in season 50. Dan, welcome.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for having me. I always look forward to being on with you.
It's so great to hear you, Dan, and so great to hear you in the ballpark. Dan, first of all, congratulations on the milestone. I know when we talked about this a year ago, it was like, yeah, you said, Steve, there was one game, and I'm not going to count that. Well, now it's official, and that you've done this. When you look back, and you know, and people ask me all the time to look back on mine, and so I understand the question and why it has to be asked. But what are the high water marks where you just look back with fondness beyond all others?
Well, of course, Stephen, it's probably much the same with you. Winning championships. The Phillies have won two World Series in our 140-year history. 1980 and 2008, and I was fortunate enough to announce both of them, and I would have to say they are the highlights. There's a lot of postseason play, and you know, the early part of the Phillies' existence was not a successful one. From like 1883 until 1980, 97 years, they had been to two World Series. They won two National League pennants, 1915 and 1950. And they lost to the Red Sox in 15 in a close series. They lost four close games to the Yankees in 1950, the WizKids. Since I started in 1972, the Phillies have played in five World Series, 1980, 1983, 1993, 2008, 2009, winning two of them. And, Steve, they would definitely be the highlights for me.
During the course of the game, I mean, are you the kind of guy that as you know, I know you're doing public address announcing. There's a series of announcements you have to do. But do you keep score? Do you keep a scorecard?
Yes. Yes, and that helps me keep my place, too, you know, for substitutions that need to be made and crossing out the names of the players that are already in the game and being cognizant who hasn't been used yet, who might be likely to come into the game, you know, anticipating those changes so that I'll be able to do it quickly and accurately when the time comes.
So where is the scorecard from Tug McGraw throwing the final pitch in 1980? Oh. Where is that?
I don't have that. I don't save them. I know some guys, you know, save them and keep scrapbooks. Now, I have a lot of great memorabilia and a lot of, you know, Philly stuff and autographed bats and balls and photos, and I'm so proud of. And I have just about every Phillies yearbook that was ever made, many programs, but I don't save the scorecards.
Interesting. Very interesting.
They're so scribbled on, Steve. If you would see my scorecard now, it works for me. But as I say, I cross out names. It's not a very neat thing to see. At least mine isn't,
yeah.
You know, at the end of the game. But it's very functional, and it helps me keep my place and not make a mistake.
Well, that's what I tell my broadcasting class all the time. I do the State College Spikes games. I've done them for 16 seasons. And I tell them that the most valuable tool that you have, besides knowledge of the game, is your scorecard. And then I show them what my scorecard is, but I tell them, I said, look, that's how I keep it. I said, you've got to keep it in your own way, which sounds it's exactly what you do. You keep it in a way where you know what it means.
Yes, yes. And that's, you know, not everybody uses the same elements in keeping score. You know, frontwards K, backwards K, F6, you know, whatever it is. Sometimes people use little variations to either simplify it for them or make it easier to see or to understand. I'm pretty conventional when it comes to keeping score.
It's interesting you say that because I don't use the backwards K. I put down K and in the bottom corner L. Looking. Looking. I find that interesting. You've obviously, and you have been very open with us, talking about you've had to fight some health challenges along the way.
Yeah.
Who's really helped you along the way to make sure that you are game ready all the time? People that we would never see, know about, home, whatever it may be.
Well, my wife. My wife and my children watched me carefully. I just got home. I was talking to Matt, and I literally got into the door a minute. Matt called when I was still in the car. I had hired a driver. Unfortunately, when they removed the squamous cell carcinoma from my right maxillary sinus 2 years ago, it cost me most of the sight in my right eye. So I have not driven since then. So I've hired, well, my wife has taken me to a lot of places, many places. But there are times when she can't do it, or it's, you know, into a lot of traffic or something. And we hire drivers, it's worked out very, very well. I've had a wonderful medical team at the... Can I mention the hospital?
Of course you can. You can talk about anything you want.
Jefferson University Hospital in Philadelphia has a great otolaryngology team, as well as infectious disease department. Anyway, the doctors and the nurses and the medical staff have just been sensational. One thing, Steve, that sometimes gets tiresome is just that, you know, there's so many I've had 24 surgeries, and the most recent one was last Friday.
Yeah.
And that was just a skin graft. But, any time you go in, and I have to spend time in a hospital, hospitals and me don't mix well. I think that's true of most people, because you can't sleep in there. 3 weeks ago, I was in for a procedure where they took a flap from my left arm and put it on the right side of my face because mm-hmm. they're trying to get rid of this infection that was embedded in the bone.
Yeah.
And so I was in there for 6 days, but when I'm in there, and again, I have the best care. They take really good care of me. But I can't sleep with, the call button's going off and, the phlebotomist comes by for blood and you got your medication, you have this and that, and this therapist comes in. But you know what? If this is what's necessary to allow me to spend a wonderful time with my family and friends and continue the career that I love so much, mm-hmm. it's a price that I'm willing to pay, and I'd pay it over and over again. I feel like I'm very fortunate, Steve.
No, I completely understand and agree with that. There's another element to this too. When people talk to me about my career, for example, I've really been one that's always looked forward. Oh, sure, I have to look back. Yeah. I mean, it's part of the job. You look back. Yeah. But, like, for example, I got to go to Purdue in 2 weeks. I'm looking forward to that. What has the ability of you, Dan, to look forward to the next Phillies game meant to your recovery, your attitude, your drive?
It's meant everything, Steve. And I can tell it in your voice and the excitement you bring to Penn State Athletics. Having those Phillies games to look forward to, being encouraged by the Phillies to get better and get back here, and we need you and we miss you. Mm-hmm. And when you're facing a health challenge with an uncertain outcome, you need all the positivity you can. Now, I'm a positive person to begin with, so I was very optimistic that I was going to work my way through this. But, you don't know for 100%. You can be optimistic. But, getting back with my family, my wife, my children, and friends, but getting back to the Phillies, and, I received a lot of messages and, texts and phone calls and letters and cards from people who said some very nice things and encouraged me to try to get back, and they'd like to hear me again.
And that was going to be my next actually question, Dan, and that is this: the fans love you. You're not going to say it. I'll say it. Okay, I speak for everybody. The fans love you. And justifiably, what has that love and response meant to you over and over again? Because you're somebody that is grounded, you're no ego guy, but still, what do the fans mean?
I want to use the same word, and if you'll forgive me for being redundant, everything. Just the thought. Those of us who are lucky enough to be in this business, as you and I are, the enjoyment that we get by bringing happiness to the fans, or the excitement, maybe helping to make their afternoon, or at least contribute to it, or to their evening. You get a wonderful inner feeling from that. And, whatever discomfort I may feel, what I've gone through, I would characterize, some of those things as pretty uncomfortable, but I was never in excruciating pain. Like you hear somebody gosh, they had to go through this or that. And well, my stuff was not easy, but, you know, it wasn't like, you know, I'm in constant pain. It's unbearable. I've been very, very fortunate. But what I wanted to say, Steve, along those lines, and please forgive me if I'm being too long-winded, when I'm focusing on the game and the excitement of it and the fun that I have announcing the names and hopefully the enjoyment that I bring to some of the fans from hearing the names called, that helps me forget, you know, the little aches and pains and, you know, things that bother you. So, you know, you're not, you know, some people who do suffer from a great deal of pain, they may have difficulty functioning as they would like to, because they're in such distress. But with me, I mean, I'm able to put that out of my mind because, you know, the game, the Phillies baseball game is so important to me, and I have a responsibility to do it right, that I can forget, you know, the medical issues and concentrate on that baseball game, and it gives me so much happiness and allows me to forget the any physical problems. Does that make sense?
It makes complete sense to me. It's amazing that you can get into that area of concentration and, quote, your own world, and you can block out everything else around you and turn in great work. And you've been turning in great work. When you hear the words legend, when you hear the adulation you get from the longevity of all this, what do you think? Because people do think of you in that way.
I think how lucky I am that people would think of me in those terms. I don't know if I'm deserving of it, but I gratefully accept the acknowledgments and the kindness that people show, but I think it's me who owes them a thank you. I just love it so much. And when I'm at the ballpark and get the reaction from people, it's just so gratifying. And again, you know, it for me, Steve, it helps alleviate any, you know, physical discomfort or, you know, anxiety that you might have. Because I just enjoy the game so much, and hopefully I'm helping them enjoy the game.
Well, whenever they call you a legend, I can tell you, you earned it through great work, longevity, and the fact that you're just a great guy. So I just want to thank you for being on with us, because we're going to have you on many more times as we go through. And you know that we're thinking about you all the time, Dan. And really, the work continues to be outstanding. You continue to make people at Citizens Bank Ballpark glad they showed up.
Oh, thanks, Steve. And keep up the great work with Penn State. It wouldn't be Penn State football and basketball without you.
Well, Dan, thank you so much. Thank you for the valuable time you gave us today and the fact that you jumped in there like you did. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Steve, and thanks to Matt also. Great job you guys are doing.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thanks, Dan.
Bye, Steve. Thank you.
That is the legendary public address voice at Citizens Bank Park of the Philadelphia Phillies, Dan Baker, who for years was also a part of the Eagles. All those great, I mean, my first time meeting Dan was at the Palestra. He's just a great down-to-earth guy who's just awesome at what he does. Right. And he loves to do it. You can hear the passion in his voice all the time. And I've never once heard him say, he saw what I saw. Oh, wait.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells founder.
Inside joke. That's a public one. All right, we'll come back. More in a moment. Great to have you with us today. So great to have Dan Baker on the show today. Such respect. Such respect. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, which is so important. And a service department that's outstanding, and when you have the reputation Sunbury Motors does, you get a lot of business there. So, they already have a lot of great technicians there to begin with, but they could use more. They're looking for entry-level and experienced technicians to work in their quick lane, car light truck service, heavy truck service, body, frame and alignment, and towing departments. You may be experienced. You may be looking for that all-important first job as an entry-level technician or somebody looking for a career change. They would love to hear from you. You can stop by in person. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com or give Todd a call at 286-7746. Laser tag. What is laser tag? Laser tag is what the football team is doing today. James Franklin does this once during the course of the preseason. And I was telling Jack, I said, I was trying to guess whether it was going to be today or tomorrow. I thought he might do it tomorrow. But it turned out he did it today, you know, because he does this once a preseason, where he just comes in and says, look, you guys have been busting your backsides, which they have, and gives them the day off. And so what they're going to do is they're at the Jordan Center today, they're going to be playing laser tag. And it's smart to do because, look, you're going, and it's physical. And I talked about this week. There's no class this week. So it's been all football, football, football. You need a break. And it keeps the mind fresh. It keeps the legs fresh. It keeps the body fresh. I mean, look at here, at you know, on our show. Look at all the time people take off. You feel fresh, don't you? You don't want dead legs, by the way, when you get to that opener. That's James handles this very well. And Joe used to do this, believe me. Joe would come in and he'd give him, because he understood that. He wanted fresh legs. This will go a long way to having a better end of the week It'll then go a long way toward having fresh legs next week to then lead into game week. So, believe me, it's smart. And I've always thought it was smart. When you see the grind that they go through, and you don't see the grind they go through, I do. Right? And not only that, it gives them an emotional lift. So they'll be back at it. Believe me, they'll be back at it tomorrow. They'll be back at it tomorrow. And they've got tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So four straight practices. And then they'll get Monday off because Monday's the first day of class. All right. Now, one other Penn State football note, and then I will go to the Notre Dame TV situation. What makes some of the top programs in the country, is depth. You cannot get through a season unscathed. So, Matt, we go back to your Yankees team, for example. Hey, this, you know, this stretch here, after going really unscathed most of the season, they've now had a stretch where their depth is being tested. I think that's fair, right?
Definitely.
And so that happens with every team during the course of a year. You're going to, you know, there's some magical years where you can get through where you're almost unscathed. But, for example, you look at Alabama last year. Alabama, they lost a number of guys during the course of the year, and they were down on wide receivers in the championship game against Georgia. And it made a big difference. And that's what happens with the top teams. So let's get to Ohio State, for example. They lost Evan Pryor, running back. Now they still have Mayan Williams and they still have Travion Henderson. But there were certain packages where they wanted to use Evan Pryor, especially using him as a running back, a slot guy. Now I'm not talking about him playing 30 plays. Pryor was probably going to play 5 to 15 plays a game in certain sub-packages that they had. Okay. So they do have to come up now with a different plan because he's out. They'll be able to do it because Ohio State does have the depth. So now let's translate that to Penn State. This recruiting class, which was highly touted, we have to now watch them play in a game to see it confirmed, obviously. But in practice, you can tell they've got something as a total class. And I can go through a long list of guys where right away you look at them and say, wow, makes the team better. What they've done at minimum is they have now changed Penn State's depth quotient. At minimum. And that makes a huge difference in case you do get to the point where it's tested. And Penn State is better at every position now because they have more depth at every position. And it makes a big difference. And that's what the top teams have. Clemson last year had their depth tested on offense, didn't go well. Right, so they bulked that up. Notre Dame's going to get a little tested here against Ohio State in the opener. Same story. Their depth's going to get tested. But that's what gives the top teams, because everybody's going to get a season-ending injury, bumped up, nicked up, whatever, where somebody has to miss a game, okay, and you have to be able to compensate for it. And if you have the depth, which I think Penn State has now, it makes a big difference in moving forward. And you can get through when you either lose something for a period of time, or even if it's a short period of time, you can still get through. Penn State has that now. That's what this class does. And the recruiting class they're going after right now gives them now a golden opportunity, you can tell, to stack. You're trying to stack classes now. And does that ever make a difference? So let's get to Notre Dame now in the TV deal. It was thrown out in the opening number that $75 million. Now, again, that is an opening. That's an opening negotiating part. And if they can get the number up to 55 or 60, they'll be happy. Because right now, Notre Dame is getting this year between 22 and 25 million this year. It's going to be way behind what the Big Ten number is going to be. That's because they would like to see the number go up. And they feel that they deserve to have the number go up. Okay. What's interesting about Notre Dame is this. And that is, they were number 9 last year in average TV audience. Yet, they only had 2 games last year where they were over the 4 million viewer mark. Only 2. And guess what? They were at only 4 million or more viewers just twice. Neither game was on NBC. Their biggest audience was at Florida State. That was the Labor Day weekend game. I watched that game. It was a terrific game. I think they had over 7 million viewers or something like that. And the other one was at Wisconsin at 5.5 million viewers. They had no other game last year over 4 million viewers, which means they had no game over 4 million viewers on NBC. Yet they are still an incredibly valuable brand that NBC is going to keep. And they're not going to get $75 million a year. They might end up getting maybe $55 or $60 million a year. But it's still going to be great for them to get that. What is not great for them, at least from the fans' point of view, the Notre Dame fans I've talked to, they're not crazy about the ACC games. Yes, they'll get Clemson at home this year. It's going to be a primetime game. It's going to be at 7:30. But everybody else, it doesn't bring a lot of juice to the schedule. And the fans are not enamored with the ACC part of it. Again, the Clemson game will bring great juice and excitement. No getting around it. And the only other game that they have at home this year, they only have 6 home games, by the way. The only other game they have at home this year that NBC will have is going to be of significance, of note, is Stanford. Their game at USC, road game.
NBC's always had that disadvantage. Because Notre Dame always has mostly cupcake home games, and you have like 1 or 2 marquee games, and that's it. Then everything else is on the road, and they don't get it.
Well, they get USC at home every other year, and they do that. I mean, Penn State played at Notre Dame when they had a home and away. They played there in 2006. The game was on NBC. So every once in a while, they'll get a game like Miami, a game like Penn State, a game like Michigan. They'll get it home. But the last couple of years, their schedule, you're right, and ever since they entered into this ACC deal, it really has dragged down their home schedule. Their top 2 games this year are at Ohio State and at USC, which means both games are on ABC, not NBC. I mean, their marquee game is going to be Clemson and Stanford at home for NBC. The other four games, Marshall is their home opener. That's got Peacock written all over it.
Yep. But then the minute I saw the Big Ten TV deal get announced as, or get reported as, since I was on vacation last week, the first thing that came to mind is what Andy Katz said on this show a couple weeks ago. Now that NBC's part of the deal, is Notre Dame going to make a move? Be very, very interesting now.
I think the key for Notre Dame is as follows. Do they have a seat at the table for the college football playoff? If they have a seat at the table for the college football playoff, I think it keeps them independent.
I actually do agree with that. Even though I think that's the wrong idea, the wrong move for Penn State, I do think you're correct on that.
I think you mean Notre Dame.
Yes, Notre Dame.
I mean, look, they can be a part of a conference. And if they start to see that they're struggling with the college football playoff entrance, maybe in part because of schedule, they may look at a conference, especially if the college football playoff expands to 12 to 16 teams, which in the end I think will. They're going to have to make a decision at that point with an expansion of the 12 to 16 teams about whether, hey, look, if we go into, let's just pick the Big Ten for proximity, hey, they're going to save a lot of money on travel for their Olympic sports. Right? And then they're going to get more money from the TV deal. Right? And with more spots in the college football playoff, maybe they feel secure at that point that they can do it in a conference. Right? But until they get that kind of assurance, I think they stay independent.
I think regardless, it's a mistake if Notre Dame doesn't join the Big Ten now. From a competitive standpoint, from a money standpoint. Just my view. From a competitive standpoint, even if they do expand the college football playoff, it increases chances that they'll have a seat at the table, sure. But whether they're in the top tier of that group or the bottom tier of that group, they're always going to be in the debate, oh, do they belong because they're not in the conference? Like, you can just take yourself out of that alone and end that headache and just get into the Big Ten where you're not going to get a lot of money. And I think even with where Notre Dame is right now, sure, they're the big brand. They're Notre Dame. I get that. But the way things are going with NIL and the way this TV money goes, I think Notre Dame eventually will be left out to dry if they don't make a move to a conference.
Yeah, I haven't heard much about Notre Dame and NIL. You know, that's interesting. I've not heard much about Notre Dame and NIL.
And like Penn State, they've been doing really good in recruiting in these last couple of classes. They've been right up there with Penn State in the top three, top five. But I think eventually they're not going to be able to sustain this, is what I'm saying, if they continue to stay independent. That's why they need to join the Big Ten. Or join a conference, period, but especially join the Big Ten.
Well, so far they've been able to negotiate it. And being Notre Dame, they're going to catch a couple of breaks along the way. I mean, there's a couple, you know, there's one year they got in. I'm looking around going, what? But the other part, too, that will take away, when you go to 12 to 16 teams in the college football playoff, now the argument about not playing in a conference championship game does go out the window. Because you will have a series of teams in the college football playoff that will have played 12 games and not 13. Just the way it's going to be. So it does take that argument away. And then it becomes a question of, okay, if we do this, we'll get more money, but we can still get to the college football playoff. That's going to be, they're going to have to weigh one against the other. And what's interesting is that Jack Swarbrick obviously will be there. I'm pretty sure Father Jenkins will be there. And it's going to be interesting to think what they think when they go to Ohio State.
I'll say this now, and I'll probably say it again in a couple weeks. I think they're going to be in for a rude awakening. I have a big feeling this is not going to be a competitive game at all, and then they're going to start realizing, we better make a move.
Well, Jim Knowles is the defensive coordinator now at Ohio State. He was brought in for a primary reason, and that is to make them a better run defense. That was the key last year. People could run the football on Ohio State, and that's where they struggled. They struggled with Oregon. They struggled with Minnesota. They struggled with Michigan in terms of their ability to run the ball. When Notre Dame played Oklahoma State in the bowl game, they rushed for 46 yards. Why did they bring up Oklahoma State? The defensive coordinator was Jim Knowles.
Oh, yeah, and they got in a shootout because they couldn't stop anybody. Right. Yeah.
Right. So, again, different personnel and everything. So it's, you know, the only common denominator will be Jim Knowles. But that, you know, can Notre Dame run the ball well enough against Ohio State? I'm not so sure they can. And I don't know enough about Buckner at quarterback to tell you whether he's the answer or not. Don't know enough about him at all. I do know C.J. Stroud's pretty good. seen him. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today as we wrap it up on News Radio 1070. WKOK brought to you by Sunbury Motors. All right. Tomorrow on the show, Dave Refson's going to join us. Looking forward to it. Our thanks to Dan Baker for being with us today. Chris Mack for being with us today. Dennis Dodd on the show tomorrow as well. What a thrill for all of us to hear the Rail Riders comeback.
You bet.
I just looked. It didn't move the needle.
It probably won't for their actual season as well, now that some of the guys have gotten called up today.
Yeah, but I thought you guys were great. I thought you didn't need anybody.